we got that clap back after practice yesterday. As Clarence Hill tweeted, Jerry Jones has finally met his media match because Micah Parsons is smart, he's savvy, and he coordinated this to talk to the media. I believe it was unscheduled right there on the field. Normally they have people off at the podium. Bobby's going to have a Cowboys training camp true or false later on in the show with Brian Broaddus live from Oxnard, Adam Schefter, Brett Boone, Rangers hitting coach. One of the questions was, is Trayvon Diggs going to speak? I would have answered no. I would have said we do not hear from Trayvon Diggs during this camp. We heard from him. He was sitting there as Micah's handler to start off, Micah's PR guy, and Parsons went in and went back at Jerry. What does it actually mean? We're going to play the audio. You judge for yourself. Tell us, please, on the Franklin Franklin Injury Attorney text line. First, let's start with what Mike actually did on the field. He did walk on the practice field. He did jog on with the rest of the players. He did not participate with a back issue. Wink, wink. Mm-hmm.
Which he did, to be fair, he did use as the same reason why initially he wasn't doing things in minicamp before he said the back loosened up. So he said yesterday that he's just waiting for the back to loosen up. As soon as it does, then he says he's going to be out there, is allegedly his stance.
Yeah. Todd Archer said he was like holding one of the blocking pads during a drill, but he wasn't actually participating in the drill. And Brian Schottenheimer says, look, all I care about right now is that he's out there. Biggest thing for me is that he is here. So participating, but not really participating, as right now, day one, maybe a hold. Does that qualify as the hold in? Or he just doesn't even approach the grass for it to be a hold in?
Generally, I mean, Holden would be not participating in drill. So it still technically probably would count as a Holden, I would guess, if that's what he was doing. But typically Holdens don't even stand in the drills and hold pads or anything.
All right, let's get to it. After practice, they gather and Micah was asked, where are you at with the deal and how badly do you want it done?
You know, for me, it really don't matter. Like I said, I've been pretty consistent. If they don't want me here, they don't want me here. I go about my business. I understand the nature of the business. Like I said, as long as I'm here and under contract, I'm going to do what I have to do to perform at the highest level. But if this is the end, this is the end. You know, there's same way that Jones, Jerry Jones, and Stephen Jones and the other Jerry Jones take care of their family, it's the same way I need to take care of my family. You know what I mean? I got my own three kids of my own, so we all need to take care of our own family at the end of the day.
All right. Two little darts in there. If they don't want me, they don't want me, and if this is the end, this is the end. Pretty strong. Yesterday, I asked you guys to kind of rank Jerry's disrespect towards the holdout players over the years. Zeke, Zach, Lamb, Micah. Diggs is not a holdout. Dak is not a holdout, but they called side swipes, according to many, during the opening presser. Today, I want you to rank the aggressiveness of the players who have gone back at Jerry and whether Micah is easily the one seed after what happened yesterday. So that's part one. Follow up with Trayvon commenting on the side. Are you frustrated it's taking this long?
Honestly, yeah. When you go around the league and you see these other teams taking care of their best guys, I see TJ got taken care of. Max got taken care of. Miles got taken care of. And he got 2 years left on his deal, so it's hard to, yeah, you see a lot of people around the league being taken care of. You just, you know, wish you had something like, you know, that same type of energy, you know.
It's hard to not take it personally.
I wouldn't say it's hard not to take it personally when you know how there's a, when there's a, you know, chain of events of something consistently happening over the course of years, when you kind of see it before through other players and things. So you don't take that you don't take it personally when you're like, all right, this, it's not like I'm getting treated differently than anyone else, you know. So I don't take it personally. I just don't understand.
That'll be one of the headlines too. It'll be, if this is the end, this is the end. If they don't want me, they don't want me. And also, I don't understand it. I just don't understand it.
I mean, look, it's a situation now where Jerry is so dug in. Like, if he was going to sign him and he was going to save money on the next term, I mean, that day is already passed.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's about, do you want him in camp?
Like, if he's going to stand up there and talk to reporters like that, he may not want him in camp.
Yeah, you're not going to save any more money. He's not really going to pay, I don't think, a ton more. I mean, the number is what it is now, right? We're past the point. Unless Hendrickson comes out here for 45.
Which Hendrickson, it doesn't sound like can even get like $10 million guaranteed or something. It sounds right. like the Bengals are just like, I don't know.
Yeah. So like, I mean, the number, like from Jerry's perspective, it's like, all right, look, the number is what it is. It's like either sign him now or sign him in 2 weeks. Like all you're doing is having him in camp.
Whether the like, that's it. Whether the Cowboys believe it or not, and whether it's accurate or not, Micah clearly views his leverage equal to Dax. Like he views it as you're just simply not going to refuse to pay me, and I'll call your bluff on it. Publicly, just Dak did the same thing last year. The first time he walked up to the podium, he was like, you know, I mean, it's a business. If this has got to go somewhere else, it's got to go somewhere else. And believe me, that was, I know with certainty, that was a calculated public chess move. Like, all right, here you go. Since you're going to talk like that, Jerry, here's this. And so same sort of thing. I'm sure that Micah looks at it the same way of like, you're going to pay me. You have no choice. And I'll just aggressively, defiantly call out your bluff on this one because you're not going to just refuse to pay me. And I think that he's probably right. They're probably not going to do that. They're probably not going to, like, this is, he's telling them, all right, I'll play chicken with you. I'm not moving.
They'll pay him. They'll pay him at the same time they paid the other guys, middle of August, somewhere around August 11th through the 19th.
Or the pregame show of the opener.
That's what
happened with Dak. Adam Schefter will probably recall that today at 9 o'clock.
Now, I mean, especially if he's going to continue to, if he's going to be out there.
Now, that will be interesting to see is if the reason that also got pushed over the line is because Dak kind of had a deadline of when the season starts, we're done. Like, we're not talking about this anymore. And so I wonder if Michael will say something like that. Like, all right, when the season's over, that's your last opportunity to get this done this year.
He also threw a shot at their numbers guy that apparently is only talking to David Mulugeta, the agent, because Steven says he hasn't, and Jerry says he hasn't. And he's like, yeah, they're a little in-between guy, whatever his name is. And I was like, damn.
Yeah, which he's referring to Adam Pacifica, their salary cap guy. And
is it Pacifica or Pra?
It's Pacifica.
Pra?
Pacifica.
R.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Adam is the cap guy. It's, again, when he says, you know, I don't take it personal because I know this is how things go. Well, like, that is also how things go. They typically do use Adam to get most of that work done. So, I mean, that's also falling in line.
And that has to be a strategy, too. Like,
yeah, I think a lot of times it's just initially like he's going to be the one to tell you what can work. So you need to talk to him.
It comes across, though, as like it's like if you're in a contract negotiation here in this building and you're only talking to Tim up until like a week before your deal expires. Tim is our assistant program director. And it's like, yo, man, where's Spittle? Where's the you're not going to talk to me? It comes across as really disrespectful, although I'm sure that's the way they do it a lot, and I'm sure it's part of their plan.
We can ask Schefter about that at 9. Like, how common is it that other teams just use salary cap negotiators early in the process?
Yes.
You're right. It might be the norm. You know, it really might be the norm. Like, you don't have to deal with them until, like, they have a
taking
range.
Taking 90% there, 95%.
They have a range that they're allowed to go into. You're buying a car. Sales guy's got a range. And then you got to go to the guy in the back, where I'm convinced nothing ever gets done. Right? You go to the guy in the back, and then they've got a number that they're allowed to kick to, and you know you have rules you got
to
follow.
Trayvon then steps up to the microphone again. This was planned on their part, right? Micah was like, "Let's do this together." Was Trayvon expecting his fine for not rehabbing in Frisco?
No, I didn't expect that. That kind of hurt my feelings. But it's okay. Hopefully I'll make it back in his senses.
And we gotta understand where he's coming from. His brother just got cleared and he tore his ACL. Maybe came back 6 months, 3-4 months early.
Yeah.
Over at Alchemy, you know, I went over there with him. They got some of the best recovery.
Yeah, he came to check on me, made sure I was doing all I was supposed to do.
At the end of the day, this is his business. His body is his body equity. He got to feel like he got to do his best for his body. And like all, because at the end of the day, if he's not available, what are they going to do? Get rid of him. You know what I mean? So he got to keep his body up to par.
I'd be a little careful, though, if I was Micah, if this is the strategy. I don't know that you want to be up there looking. Nick talked about this yesterday, where he's like, I think the Cowboys are viewing those two as like, hey, this is the cautionary tale you could go down. And like he views them as the Cowboys view Diggs and Parsons as like almost tied together as like trajectories. And
why? Based on what? That's insulting to Micah Parsons.
I think because they're up there talking like they're so tied to the hip. It's like the company you keep. What are we going to see when you get paid? I don't think it's a legit. I don't think that's a concern with Micah. But I also wouldn't have thought before he paid Diggs. I would not have anticipated that from Diggs either. Where I would have felt like, is he totally bought in? And
the fact that they're so tight, they're boys,
that they're doing all their joint interviews together and stuff. I mean, they're like a banana boat ride away from being Chris Paul and LeBron James.
They were basically up there yesterday defying the Cowboy leadership.
Which is, I mean, negotiations are negotiations. Yeah. Do what you got to do.
It's just sometimes they go public.
And do you support Trayvon with the rehab approach?
100%. It's his body. You know, if you feel like you have better, if you could get better treatment somewhere else, go somewhere else. He would not be the first guy to do this. And especially, like,
don't complain if you lose the incentive, though.
True.
The incentive. Okay. But no, losing the incentive and then being. Okay. Did he lose the incentive or was he docked?
It's called a de-escalator. So it's in the contract that if he did not show up to the facility a certain percentage of the offseason, then he was going to lose the incentive.
But is he not getting a $500,000? Did he lose $500,000 out of his salary or did he not get a bonus?
So it's a semantics thing where it's. You could either describe it as. He lost money or he didn't earn it. But it's like the Cowboys are going to say he didn't earn it. Trayvon's going to say he lost it. Either way, it was, if you don't hit it by this date, you're not getting this
money.
Let's
just say I have a $50,000 salary in my contract. That's my base deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do what Trayvon did. Translate that for me.
No,
am I now making $0?
This would be on the books as if you made $50,000 last year. Next year, you're going to make $80,000 if you show up a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You didn't show up that time, now you're making $50,000 again. It's that.
Okay.
$500,000, which is not clearly like a massive pay cut in the grand scheme of a $20 million contract.
Right. I mean, it's not, but it's still a lot of money. And I agree with you, like you can't really complain. But what does it say about your team and your training? And when you have the NFLPA report card that comes out, gives you a C+ on that, and then you got players, high priced players, top tier players from your pay scale, who are choosing to train and rehab somewhere else. That tells me a lot about what's going on there.
What's a cost of living raise? 2.5-3% generally. Like everybody, sure. Everywhere generally does 2.5-3% just for the year changeover. Diggs's incentive is basically 2.5% of his contract. This is essentially like you went into the next year and you're not getting the cost of living raise.
I like this tone, though. You know, Trayvon can be moody. I was expecting him to be a lot angrier and more ticked off at Jerry. Yesterday, at least, they were calm. They were composed. I liked it. I found myself rooting for both of them yesterday and against Jerry Jones. More on what happened in Oxnard as we are off to a fast start for Cowboys training camp on your home for America's team. Brian brought us live at 8:40 from California, but the guys were shaken up yesterday over the passing of Ozzy Osbourne, and I was shaken up over the passing of Theo Huxtable. That's next on 105.3 The Fan.